Today on North State Give and Take, I am going to interview Dr. Ken Logan. And right. Dr. Logan is a family practice doctor who works at Enloe and at the Shalom Free Clinic. And he has a lot of history and knowledge about diabetes. So we were going to talk about that today. Welcome, Ken.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. And thank you very much for covering this subject on your show.
So, Ken, start off for me a little bit about what diabetes is.
Yeah, good question. And the term diabetes, the way we use it here, has to do with the metabolism of blood sugar in the human. And the sugar in the human we call glucose in the bloodstream. Actually, in animals, mammals and that kind of animal, glucose or sugar is needed every second of our life in our bloodstream in order for all the cells of the body to have the energy that they need to do their work. Without sugar or glucose in us, we are not alive. And so diabetes, unfortunately, is a term that means the metabolism or the regulation of glucose amount in the bloodstream has some problems. It's elevated beyond what's normal. And the reason that's a problem is because over the short haul, sometimes in certain ways, but certainly over the long haul, there are problems in the human body that can arise because of that. The amount of glucose or sugar in the bloodstream, remember, it's needed for every cell. So the amount of glucose in the bloodstream needs to be a certain level in order for all the cells of the body to have access to it. For instance, if the blood sugar happened to be too low, then below normal range, then the cells of the body cannot function correctly and there's problems. But that is not diabetes. Diabetes is too high of blood sugar. And again, like we said earlier, we can talk about what that can cause in humans over the long haul. However, first, how does that happen that blood sugar is too high in the bloodstream? First, glucose in the bloodstream or sugar in the bloodstream, like I said, is needed in all the cells of the body. But how does it get from the bloodstream into all the cells of the body? The brain cells, the muscle cells, all the cells of the body. Well, it requires a hormone. Hormones is a term that means many things, not just female or male hormones. There's all kinds of other hormones in the body. There is a certain hormone made by the pancreas called insulin that is needed in order to get the glucose in the bloodstream out of the bloodstream and into the cells. And it turns out it's absolutely needed. In other words, every second of our life, not only do all the cells in our body need glucose available, but the body also needs every second of our life insulin. Remember, diabetes is that unfortunately that the level of blood sugar is too high in the bloodstream, and that's the definition of diabetes. And there are different kinds of diabetes. Now, it turns out that basically, generally speaking, there's pretty much only two kinds of diabetes. Let's start with what the most common cause of diabetes or common type of diabetes is out there in the world. And that is what we call type 2 diabetes. In the olden days, it used to be called adult onset diabetes. But since that's not exactly totally true, in other words, children, at least teenage children, can acquire type 2 diabetes. So we no longer call it adult onset. We call it type 2 diabetes. 90% of the people in the world who have diabetes have type 2 diabetes. So I can lay out the other kinds real quick, and then I'll go back to type 2 diabetes. But the other most common kind of diabetes, or about 10% of the diabetes in the world, is what we call type 1 diabetes. That's a different phenomenon. It's high blood sugar, but it's a different cause altogether. So back to type 2 diabetes, the most common diabetes in the world, 90% of the people have it. They are not born with it. I say sometimes it rears its ugly head as an adult. Sometimes a teenage or young adult, or sometimes even more likely older, let's say mid-adulthood, sometimes included in that is late adulthood onset. So it actually can be found out about in the body at any adulthood age. I want everybody with type 2 diabetes who's listening to know this fact very well. They did not cause it. It is not something they did in their life. It's not how they lived their life. It's not how they ate in their life. It was genetically given to them. And I don't think enough of us use that word genetically, genetics, when we talk about type 2 diabetes. I want everyone with type 2 diabetes to know that it's not, they did not do it to themselves. Just like they did not give themselves the color of their eyes, they also did not cause their type 2 diabetes. However, even though they didn't cause it upon themselves, they have it. And then now what do they do about it? Just like any other medical condition that we acquire as time goes on, we, in this case, can't go back and get different genetics, but we can do something about the medical condition. And thank goodness, there are things that distinctly can be done by any individual who has type 2 diabetes. And type 1 diabetes is different than type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, remember again, is only about 10% of the people in the world with diabetes have type 1. Doesn't mean that's not a lot of people. It just means that it's less common than type 2. Type 1 is an unfortunate condition where the person's pancreas, through no fault of their own, is unable to make insulin anymore. The person is insulin deficient, and in order for them to actually live, they need insulin. And it, unfortunately, insulin is not a hormone that is able to be swallowed by a pill, as a pill or a liquid to swallow. Mm-hmm. So it is an injection. Insulin is an injectable hormone. And type 1 can occur in children, but generally it can come in early childhood to mid-childhood. One of the mm-hmm. peak times is around that beginning of adolescence time.
Mm-hmm. Insulin is one of those hormones that you really have to regulate all the time, either with type 1 or type 2, I would imagine.
That is correct. That's a very good point, Bobby, that even though it's injectable, it's not, you inject one dose today and you're cool for the whole day. It doesn't work like that at all. It's the need is variable throughout the day, certainly in type 1 diabetes, and in most people who do end up on insulin. Certainly with type 1 diabetes, the amount of insulin and the type of insulin is variable each day.
Yes.
And they need knowledge of that and how to institute that use of insulin that way.
And sometimes many times in a day, in that they've got some long-acting varieties and then some types that they have to take as needed throughout the day.
Correct, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. There's different types of insulin, and the two usual types are a long-acting insulin, where they take that shot once, maybe twice through per day, and they don't vary that dose much. Mm-hmm. But then the other insulin that's also equally important and needed also through the day is what we call the short-acting insulin. And we also sometimes call it a mealtime insulin. So that's taken at meals. Mm-hmm. If they eat three meals a day, they get three shots. They give themselves three shots a day.
And this involves quite a bit of blood sugar testing, I assume.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Regularly and ongoing.
Yes.
There's two ways nowadays to do blood sugar testing. The usual way that's been around forever is they literally poke their finger, get a drop of blood, and then have this little beeper-sized, smaller than a cell phone-sized machine that then takes that drop of blood and tells them what their blood sugar is. Mm-hmm. The other method nowadays is called a continuous glucose sensor, which has become technologically much more user-friendly for humans. And so it's getting many, many more people in the United States and the world are utilizing what's called a continuous glucose sensor, which is a little thing that they connect to their themselves. And then it tells what their glucose is every 5 minutes.
Do type 2 diabetes, does that go into that at some, can it go into that also?
What a very good question, Bobby.
Good.
Yes, it can, and often it does. Not necessarily everybody with type 2 diabetes requires insulin shots. That is definitely not the case. It's a medical condition that has a process over time relative to its what it's doing to the body and what is needed to do for the diabetes. Again, just to say, type 1 diabetes, wow, when your insulin is not being produced by your pancreas like type 1, bam, you need the full court press, and that's a whole different phenomenon. We call it a historical process, or where when they first know they have diabetes, there's some things that they can do in their life that can dramatically help their blood sugars, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, I hope. And then they hopefully will not need even medicines, hopefully. But with respect to medicines relative to helping them with their blood sugars with type 2 diabetes, there are pills as well.
And tell me some of the lifestyle or some, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of teaching things here that are important.
How great for you to say that, Bobby, because that's a fact. And let me just say this real quick about the medicines. Not only are there a lot of different pills available, some of them work good, some of them don't. And back to what you just said, what can a person with type 2 diabetes do for themselves that isn't medications?
We're going to take a break from talking with Dr. Ken Logan about diabetes, North State Give and Take, and we'll be back in just a minute. Back to our interview with Dr. Ken Logan talking about diabetes here at KZFR, and my name is Bobby Tryon.
Part of type 2 diabetes has to do, generally, most people, with something called insulin resistance, where their pancreas is still generally making insulin, probably isn't making as much insulin now as it did, say, 10 years prior, but it still is making insulin. The other fact that unfortunately is present is most people with type 2 diabetes have what we call insulin resistance. In other words, the insulin that their pancreas is making is good insulin. It's just that the body needs more insulin because the cells of the body are not able to utilize the insulin as readily. So in order for the insulin to do the work it's supposed to do to get the glucose or sugar out of the bloodstream and into the cells for the energy they need, the insulin level needs to be higher. In other words, they need more insulin in order to get that glucose out of the bloodstream compared to 10 years ago. We call that insulin resistance. And the problem with insulin resistance is the fact that, yeah, your body needs more insulin, but also when your body needs more insulin, your pancreas puts it out into the bloodstream, more insulin to get your blood sugar down. And for the years preceding you getting diagnosed, your pancreas was doing that. And the more insulin your pancreas was able to make made your blood sugar finally get normal at a higher amount of insulin into your bloodstream. Yes. Well, finally, the pancreas gets to where it's not able to keep up with quite that much, number one. Number two, guess what the extra insulin did to your body? It made you gain weight. Insulin is an anabolic hormone. In other words, a weight gain hormone. The more insulin in your body, the heavier you will be. And by heavier, I mean mainly the adipose tissue or fat, a little bit of muscle, but mainly it's fat. Unfortunately, the more fat you have on the body, the more insulin resistance your body has, and therefore the more insulin you need. It's a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
It's a catch-22. So, and some of the pills even make your, hopefully your insulin work better, and some of the pills make your little more insulin come out of your pancreas and blah, 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 blah. But here is a key point that I want everybody to hear. If you have type 2 diabetes and therefore you have insulin resistance, what in the world can you do in your life to try to help yourself? And so that you don't just keep gaining weight, making the diabetes worse for type 2 diabetes. What I'm going to say now, in my opinion, I've done this for close to 40 years now, the two things that are most important for type 2 diabetes for somebody to do, to decrease their insulin need and therefore treat their diabetes, has to do with, number one is food, and number two is body activity. You need to attack it this way. Food, first of all. Remember that when we look at foods, we as healthcare providers, registered nurses like you and me as a doctor, we think of foods in three categories: protein, fat, and carbohydrate. Protein in our food, fat in our food do not affect our blood sugar level nor our insulin level, generally speaking. Carbohydrates are the bad guy. Carbohydrates are the category of food that are problematic relative to our intake when you have type 2 diabetes. Carbohydrates are the food that are chains of glucose. They are essentially, they are sugar. Carbohydrates of all kinds, be they potatoes, breads, pastas, fruit, fruit juice, a little bit in milk, all kinds of animal milk, and some in beans, which I don't badmouth. But what I badmouth about this is potatoes, all grain products like breads, pastas, rice, and then, unfortunately, fruits and fruit juice.
And all the obvious sugar right out the door.
Oh, sugar is bad too, yeah.
Yeah.
So remember, every mouthful of carbohydrate is sugar in your body. You, yeah. When we say the word carbohydrate by definition is a food category that is made up of chains of glucose or chains of sugar. So as you eat a mouthful of French fries or potato chips or bread or pasta, when it hits your gastrointestinal tract, your belly, it is digested into sugar, just like as if you took a mouthful of sugar or syrup, and goes into your bloodstream as that sugar. When we therefore eat carbohydrates, they're absorbed into your bloodstream as glucose. Glucose in your bloodstream means your pancreas needs some insulin in order to get that glucose into the cells of your body. Well, remember, when you have type 2 diabetes, you have insulin resistance. So you need more insulin. Remember, the more insulin you make your body, more fat on your body you will have. The more fat on your body you have, the worse your diabetes will be. Mm-hmm. My point there is that this insulin resistance fact and this badness of carbohydrates because of what they are in your life is not your fault, but it is a fact relative to you helping yourself with your medical condition. Every mouthful of carbohydrate, I don't care what it is, becomes sweet.
Yeah.
You know, our amylase our saliva turns our starts turning it in our mouth.
Well, even if it's bread and you think you're just eating bread.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Starts in your mouth. It's turned into sugar in your mouth. And then, of course, it does a lot more of it in your gut. But wow.
I've got a question. Is all type 2 diabetes insulin resistant?
That's a very good question. And to answer that question correctly, does every person with type 2 diabetes have insulin resistance? And I would say if every person who's has been told they have type 2 diabetes indeed has type 2 diabetes, then I would answer that question with yes.
Okay. There's not the right amount of insulin for the glucose to feed the cells for whatever reason.
Correct. There's not enough insulin for two reasons. Not quite making enough insulin from their pancreas, but part of the reason that that's a problem is because their body needs extra insulin.
Yes.
Okay. Because of insulin, because of the important issue of insulin resistance.
Okay, I gotcha.
They have to decrease their body's need for insulin.
Yes.
Carbohydrates are bad for that. They're the bad guy on that.
Yeah.
When we nutritionists or doctors look at foods, protein in food, fat in food and carbohydrates in food. We do need protein in our diet. We do need some fat in our diet for this reason alone, are required to be eaten because our body cannot make them. And we need them. Some protein and some fat is required in our diet. What about carbohydrates? Are they demanded? Are they absolutely necessary in our diet every day, all the time? Because we need glucose in our bloodstream all the time, you might think. Well, guess what? They're not needed to be eaten. We have an organ that every second of our lives, glucose is put into our bloodstream and made to be the appropriate amount in our bloodstream by our liver. Our liver has many, many, many jobs. One of them is to always make sure we have enough glucose in our bloodstream. It does it whether we're eating carbohydrates or we're eating nothing. Human beings can live certainly without eating carbohydrates because the liver does it. Our glucose in our bloodstream comes from two places, the carbohydrates we eat, and that rushes into our bloodstream after we eat the carbohydrate. Requires insulin rushing into our bloodstream. Well, the other way that glucose gets into our bloodstream is all the time, maintained all the time by our liver. So we don't actually have to eat carbohydrates. I am not saying if you have type 2 diabetes to not eat carbohydrates, but I'm saying I want you to know relative to your health and your body, you are very able to dramatically lower the carbohydrates, dramatically, because your liver is putting glucose all the time into your bloodstream. You do not need to eat carbohydrates all the time. So I say with type 2 diabetes, if you wanted to eat some carbohydrates, which you will, are bean products such as pinto beans, lima beans, soybeans, green beans, peas, those kind of legumes. Not only do they have fiber and protein, they also have some carbohydrates and some in milk. For those people who drink milk, be it non-fat or low-fat cow's milk, there is some in that as well.
And if you don't have diabetes and you don't have a problem, your body takes those things in. If they're high fiber, they probably work it out. The insulin doesn't ask for insulin in such a big push, so that yes, that slows down the need for the insulin, so it works. Am I right on that?
It's absolutely true. You know, that for people who do not have diabetes, it doesn't matter. Carbohydrates are fine. The fiber laden, the unprocessed is better for our health, all of us. However, if you have type 2 diabetes, it really means all carbohydrates are a problem.
Okay. And also, if you're genetically have a propensity for diabetes, if you are eating a lot of carbohydrates, that could bring it on, or that will, you know, so here you're a person going along, you don't know you have type 2 diabetes, and say you're somebody who does eat a lot of carbohydrates, will that bring on the diabetes?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I know people wonder about that. And that goes back, Bobby, to the thing I said at the very beginning, and that is, when you have type 2 diabetes, you did not do this to yourself. Now, what time in your life is it going to rear its ugly head and become known? Indeed, may come about more readily if you're a heavy carbohydrate eater. And guess what will happen? My point is, you're going to gain weight. You're going to gain, if you have the genetics of type 2 diabetes and you're eating a high carbohydrate diet, you're going to get extra fat. The more fat you have in the body, the worse your insulin resistance is. The more fat you have in your body, the more likelihood earlier than if you didn't eat some carbohydrates. And now you didn't cause that, but you made it occur in your life at an earlier age than if you were a less carbohydrate eater.
Yeah. Another question I have for you. They talk about that belly fat.
Yes.
Is that somehow connected to the insulin resistance?
That's a good question. And I wonder that myself. And here's the answer to that. Remember that type 2 is a genetic phenomenon. In people who have increased belly fat, who have the genes for type 2 diabetes, are going to, that genetic phenotype or look is going to include the bigger belly. It's not a cause. You could be heading to diabetes. That's possible, but nobody knows. One thing that people should pay attention to, I feel all of us should pay attention to this fact. Do you have type 2 diabetes in your family, such as in your parents or your siblings? If not in your parents or siblings, do you have type 2 diabetes in your grandparents or aunts and uncles? Mm-hmm. And usually that means in those who are overweight. Not necessarily, but usually. And if they are present in your family, like in any of those, then you need to watch out for it, such as not gaining weight, such as don't eat so many carbohydrates, and be a regular body activity-er.
To put this out there, we have so many things we could talk about, but I wanted to add this. So you don't know your genetic family history. The A1C test, I know that doctors are doing it more now, putting it more on a standard lab study. And what is that, and how can that be a good indicator for people?
How can that be useful? Yes, an A1C. An A1C is a non-fasting blood test that helps determine if somebody's average blood sugar over the last 3 months is higher than normal.
I certainly have had them, and I just think that sometimes you can suggest that to your primary care. Hey, can you do an A1C on me? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to talk about the body activity.
I use the word body activity. And the reason I do is because what I'm talking about is regularly done, simple things that some people might not even think about as so much exercise, but things like walking. If you're going downtown or going someplace to do shopping, it doesn't mean parking right close to the place. It means park a little bit away or park in one spot and then walk to the different shops downtown, you know, and things like that in our lives are important to do every day. The only things I know of in the human body to help insulin resistance are, number one, to lose weight. Number two, every day, whether you've lost weight or not, is body activity. I think it's important to pick the amount of walking that you're going to be able to regularly do. It's better to do a shorter walk 5 days to 7 days a week. That's important.
And number three, of course, limit your carb intake. Well, Dr. Ken Logan, thank you today for this very interesting conversation. You know, like you said, we should do it again.
Yes, ma'am. I would hope we certainly can do that.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know if they're calling it an epidemic. They probably are not. But this is a pretty big deal in this country.
It is. It's increasing in numbers.
It's increasing
in percentages.
Mm-hmm. And where do you find someone who really knows about it? Because, you know, primary care docs are spread pretty thin. And it's nice to have somebody who really knows what he's talking about. And I appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you, Bobby. Thank you very much.
All right. And we'll do it again.
Excellent.
All right. Bye, Ken.
Bye-bye.
You've just heard an interview with Dr. Ken Logan about diabetes on North State Give and Take. Go to kzfr.org and go to programs, go to Tuesdays, and go down to North State Give and Take, where you can listen to this show. And there's a comment box there, which there is for all of the shows, but especially for this one, if you've got a question or a comment for Ken, please put your comment in there and he would be glad to respond. Thanks for listening to North State Give and Take. We appreciate you, and stay tuned for Radioactive.